This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Dort topside three, no. Hustling for the rebound is Giddey. Giddey dribble drive with a floater. Rimming good.
Oh,
and the Thunder lead 34-16 at the 8:05 mark, second quarter.
Giddey
DeRozan.
Up.
Yep.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Chris Ronji, hanging out with you until this is the final hour of the show. So with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Glad you are with us. And I am very pleased to be heading to the Circa Resort and Casino guest line. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can hear this man call Bulls basketball on this very radio station, 670 The Score. It is Chuck Swirsky with us on 670 The Score. Good evening, Chuck. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
My friend, I am doing really well. It is good to hear your voice. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk, so it's good to have you here after the Bulls make a trade yesterday. Alex Caruso, who was a fan favorite for this Bulls team, is now with Oklahoma City. Josh Giddey, you just heard the highlight that you called right there. He comes over to the Bulls in the trade. First, let's talk about Caruso himself and what he was to this Bulls team and what it will be like to not have him around.
Well, I think everyone connected with the organization, Chris, on the floor, off the floor. I mean, we saw a genuine human being. And, you know, we toss these words around a lot about character and whatnot. But, Chris, the truth of the matter is that he was and is a wonderful person, period. Very approachable, very kind. Just a guy that, you know, would go out in speaking engagements or club functions and wouldn't mail it in on the same way on the floor. So from that standpoint, obviously, you know, the ball club's going to miss him. The franchise is going to miss him. on the court, I think it speaks for itself. He was an exceptional defensive player. Chris, as you know, and you followed the Bulls, on any given night, he would probably guard the best offensive player on the opposing team. And if that meant a point guard, if that meant a five, I mean, you know, we saw when the Bulls played Phoenix, he was guarding Kevin Durant. And after the game, Durant had a few words with Caruso, with total respect about the job Caruso did on KD. And I think if you ask any player in the NBA, that they will tell you that Alex Caruso is a very high-level elite defensive player and a guy who will get after scrambles, go for 50-50 balls. So the fact that he was traded didn't surprise me. He's got 1 year left on his deal. I'm sure he's looking, along with his agent, to maximize a possible extension where he could receive 4 years at $80 million, 20 a year. And I think it was a great fit for Oklahoma City. And so while, you know, this trade is getting slammed by many, many people, you have to look at different layers of a transaction. And where the Bulls were at, needing a player that Giddey fills as far as ball handler, passing, vision, high basketball IQ, and he's 21 years old. He won't be 22 until October. I mean, you had to make this deal. And so while it's very difficult because no one wants to trade a Caruso, you have to get something back in return that will benefit your club not only this year but hopefully down the road as well.
So I think the conventional, or the common wisdom here, is that this is probably very much the end of Lonzo Ball being here, and that Giddey can sort of fill that role. Do you think he can do that to the same extent that Lonzo was when he was available?
Well, I mean, let's put Lonzo aside for a moment, because I still think, and again, I'm not, you know, privy to what's going on in the front office, nor I want to be. I mean, that's their business. And so I really don't know where this is at with Lonzo and his rehab and whether he's going to be able to come back or not. Hopefully he will be. But let's just talk for a second about Josh Giddey, Chris, because I think what the Bulls really need as far as pace and as far as just the acceleration of a fast break or a secondary fast break, I think Giddey can provide. Now, he's got to work on his shooting. I think that's pretty well chronicled. But if you look at his numbers in his second year in the league, it was pretty impressive. You know, he had 16 points, 7 boards, you know, 6-7 assists per game. And where Oklahoma City, people are saying, well, why would OKC give him up considering they have all these young players and they wanted him to come off the bench? Well, if you look at the makeup now of Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a ball-dominant player and a very good one, an elite, great, great star in this league. He needs the ball in his hands, okay? So Giddey, in my opinion, is not an off-the-ball player. He needs the ball when he's really, really effective for the four other players with him. So you look at Oklahoma City and how they've constructed their team, and they wanted Giddey to come off the bench. And Giddey is probably saying to himself, wait a minute, you know, I think I can, I've proven that I can play starter minutes and I'm capable of playing with the ball. And so he probably sat down with OKC and said, if you can move me, move me. You know, I'm looking at OKC's roster and they've got $30 million in cap room. They'll probably go for a big next, and that probably is going to be Hartenstein of New York if they can get him. But they've got to take care of some contracts coming up. You know, sooner or later down the road in a couple of years, they got to take care of Holmgren. He'll be a max player, I would assume, the way his career is going. Jalen Williams is going to get probably near max money, if not max money. And Gilgeous Alexander is going to get super max money at 60 a year. So, you know, they were probably saying, okay, if we can make a move now and make a preemptive strike to eliminate what could be down the road some issues, let's do it. I think it's a win-win for both teams.
You know, you mentioned James Harden, and I'm not saying Giddey is Harden or even the same kind of player, but if you're looking for some kind of precedent for a player going to a situation, which, I mean, the Bulls are not in the same situation Oklahoma City is in terms of, of how good they are at the moment, and things could change clearly, but there is precedent for Harden getting freed up in a way and then really starting to develop. So, I mean, that happened with him. I suppose if you're looking at Giddey, you see the same thing. He's going to a situation where he's going to get the ball a whole lot more than where he was.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? I mean, I think Giddey and Harden are completely two different players altogether. I mean, I think Harden is a scoring machine. And whether it's with the three-pointer or drawing fouls. I mean, early in his career, he was going to the foul line 11 times a game. Now, that is not the case any longer. But I think, you know, you have to look at Giddey as a player that, you know, depending on who he's going to play with. And again, I don't think the Bulls are done. I think they're trying to remain very active, whether it's going to be at the free agent market, whether it's going to be trades. I mean, you know, they got the 11th pick in the draft. So we'll see what develops there next week. Shameless plug, we'll have the draft on the Score. But, you know, I'm anxious to see how this thing will come together and how they are going to configure the roster for 24-25.
Yeah, I want to go back to the defense that Caruso brought this Bulls team. And wondering who fills that gap. Is it a natural progression for Io to become that guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing about Caruso, he was tenacious. He knew how to play angles. He was fearless. He sacrificed his body. I mean, he played 71 games last year. He averaged what, Chris? You've got probably his stats in front of you. I'd say he probably played anywhere between 27 to 30 minutes a game in those 71 games. So, and I would say of those 71 games, I bet you, I would say he played more than half with something going on where he played through pain. And, you know, he was just one of those guys. He had a high threshold of pain and never wanted to come out. And I admire, you know, there's a big difference, Chris, between being hurt and being injured. Mm-hmm. And he played hurt. Now, when his body shut down, you can't, you know, if you're injured, you're injured. But his threshold to play through these nagging injuries and painful ones at that, I think was tremendous from the standpoint that he always felt, if I can walk, I'm going to play. If you're going to give me a uniform that night, I can play. So I think the Bulls definitely are going to miss that element, which was a huge element of the makeup of the ball club. But again, we'll see what they've got, you know, left as far as their free agent moves or trades coming up.
It'll be really fascinating to see what happens here during the offseason, Chuck, to see how the Bulls approach it in terms of trades, if there are more, and it seems likely that something else will happen. You've got Lonzo, you've got Zach LaVine. There's going to be a lot of change here, I would think, and certainly with the draft coming up as well. Draft coverage, again, what time's it all start?
Well, we're going to, on draft night, you know, we're going to be on the air at 6, and we're going to have, because the Cubs are playing, we're going to be on the air, and then we're going to go to the app. But, you know, again, you know, there are so many rumors. Chris, you have covered sports long enough. I really don't pay too much attention to unnamed sources or this source. And I always tell people, I want you to save and collect every element of social media or websites who speculate on trades. So this player is going here, that player is going there. And then at the end of the trade deadline in mid-February, how many of those came to fruition? Because, you know, there are leaks galore. Agents leak. Probably some teams leak. You know, guys conjure up stuff. And, I mean, I just think you got to be really, really careful about stuff that disseminates and we put on radio, TV, the internet, whatever, because then people say, well, this team turned down four number one picks for him. Well, you know, that never happened. You know, no one, the only player right now that's being talked about receiving multiple first round picks, and I know this as a fact, is Mikal Bridges. And there were teams at the deadline offering three, perhaps four first round picks for Bridges. But that's the only player within the realm of perhaps being traded that right now could command that type of multiple first round picks. You might get some guys, Chris, with two, but for the most part, for the available players, and who knows who's available and who's not available, but if they really wanted to capitalize, and I'm talking about the Nets with Mikal Bridges, they could probably get three, maybe four first-round picks, and that's it. And, I mean, that's enough, but I'm talking about players available.
Chuck Swirsky, it's great to catch up with you, but before we say goodbye, I do need to let you know that I have never been wrong on Twitter. I am always right.
Okay. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I was going to say, is there attached to this?
No. I'm there, Chuck. Oh, and on all my tweets are fire. They are straight fire, yeah.
Well, you know what, Chris? I'll tell you what, I know how much you love baseball. I just want to congratulate Ryan Sandberg on this weekend coming up, the Sandberg game, June 23rd, 84. I'll just leave you with this anecdote, is that back in 84, I was sports director at WGM Radio. They had the Cubs rights, and NBC had that game, and Bob Costas called the game. Well, when you had a nationally televised game, Harry slid over the radio and did the first three and the last three. He had the option whether or not he wanted to do extra innings. On that particular game, he wanted to call that game. Well, Milo, you know, who was the designated radio play-by-play announcer, he would do the middle three on TV. So now you had Harry in the booth, you had Milo in the booth, you had Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau. And in my opinion, Vince Lloyd is one of the most underappreciated broadcasters this city has ever seen. He was a great, great baseball broadcaster and then some. But the tension in the booth on the Sandberg game, and I'm talking about the on-air tension, oh my gosh. And I was in there, and it was just, wow. But, you know, it was a great game. Sandberg was incredible, and that game really put the Cubs on the map. That you know, because they had just picked up Sutcliffe a week before, and I'm telling you right now, Chris, that whole season, that game turned around the entire mindset and makeup of that franchise that particular day.
Chuck, awesome to talk to you. Thanks, my friend.
All right, be well, Chris.
Bulls broadcaster right here on 670 The Score. Chuck Swirsky with us here. And again, get that Odyssey app downloaded, AUDACY. Wednesday the 26th, first night, first round of the draft. And of course, we will have draft coverage right here.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On 670 The Score.
1-2. That one hit to center as Vierling will make the catch. And DeYoung was not aware of the outs. He's going to get doubled off at first, and that's how the game will end.
Yeah, this is an event away to lose, and that's the way the Sox have been for a bit. That's a little frustrating.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything on The Score, including this show right now. It is on the free Odyssey app. Follow 670 The Score in the Odyssey app and take us wherever you may go. Dude, White Sox, come on, people. Come on, bro. What are y'all doing? Does it, and I will admit to you that I am at a distance right now. I am not watching every single White Sox game in its entirety. I am keeping up on what's happening. I have not seen every inning, every play. But it seems like when I do turn them on, something like that is happening. Now, I know that this is not exclusive to 2024. There have been other bad White Sox teams in recent memory. There is nothing like this, though. This is prolifically bad, what they are. And it's almost like watching that play happen, and again, just to reiterate, in the ninth inning, in Detroit, they're down by a run. Tying run is at first base with one out. It's Paul DeYoung. Fly ball to center field, just a typical fly ball. It wasn't one of those that looked like it was going to get into the gap. It was just a fly ball to center. DeYoung is jogging toward second and then around second as if it is the final out of the game, not realizing how many outs there are, and then he realizes way too late. So they double him off easily. The game comes to an end.
By the way, I see the White Sox lose many, many, many ways this year. That's a new one.
This team, man. I hate to say this because I care so much about the organization. Well, I care more about White Sox fans than anything else. And I want that team to be good. I want them to win. But Jesus, what are we doing here? What is going on? I mean, I know what's going on. You know what's going on. You know what's happening. It's poor management. And I don't mean at the field level, but there's probably some of that too. I'm talking about from the top. And it's unfortunate because it is a fan base that, it, you know what, I used to say things like, it's, you know, deserves got nothing to do with it. Fans don't deserve anything. They don't deserve the team to be good. But that's not true. You do. You deserve to have a good team. If you are showing out for them and you are not obligated to give your money at all to the White Sox if they are not good, absolutely not. Do you need to spend your money on a team that is not willing to provide the best possible product? You don't have to do that.
What are we doing here?
Great question, Chuck. You don't have to. And I understand why you don't. And it is, it's really disheartening because I think Sox fans deserve it. They deserve a good team. They deserve to have a good roster on the field. They deserve to have ownership that cares about putting a good roster. And I don't mean a roster that's good within a framework of what he wants to do and how much he's willing to spend and how far he's willing to go. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about create the best possible team, whatever it takes. Do that. And not like, well, I want to win, but I only want to win within these rules that I'm setting for myself, within these parameters that I'm giving myself. Yeah, of course I want to win, but not I'm not going to overexert myself here. I'm not going to overextend anything. I'm going to play within this set of rules that I have created, and if they don't win, well, then they don't win. It's really frustrating, and I feel bad. I feel bad for people who watch this every day. What a real bummer. I'm sorry, guys. You know what? Let's talk to John Greenberg from The Athletic, my guy. We'll talk to him about a number of stuff. Want to catch up with him on Bulls. We'll get his thoughts on the Cubs and a whole lot more that's all coming up. I'm Chris Ronji on The Score.
By the way,
yeah,
I see the White Sox lose many, many, many ways this year. That's a new one.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Chris Ronji on The Score. Good to have you with us tonight. And it is time to go to the guest line. And we visit with our guy from The Athletic. I think he owns the place. At least that's how I'm gonna say it. He is the founding editor, senior columnist. It is John Greenberg with us on The Score. Good evening, John.
Chris, if I own The Athletic, would I be on the doing a radio show with you on Friday night?
No, no, no. But you would also own the New York Times, I think.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. I would be at my beach house.
Talking with John Greenberg from The Athletic. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while, John. And we speak a day after the Bulls made a trade, sending Caruso to Oklahoma City. This one seems to have a lot of mixed feelings about it because Caruso was a fan favorite, and they hate to see him go. What are your thoughts on the deal?
Well, I mean, we knew Caruso would probably be shipped off this year. I mean, they could have signed him to an extension and then maybe even traded him because the extension he's going to get, it's a lot of money, but it's not a crazy amount of money. So they could have gone either way with that. But then, I mean, the team's so, like, they've had the same core, and without Lonzo Ball, they're just like a 500 team or less. You know, they're a play-in team. So we kind of knew Caruso would go, and really, he should have been traded last season. I mean, but they liked him, and they wanted to make this kind of ill-fated playoff push with him, so they didn't do it. And there was all sorts of rumors and stories that people were offering multiple draft picks, but I think, you know, a lot of those were protected or whatever picks where they couldn't go top 10, but whatever. The Bulls instead traded him for no draft picks and one guy who's pretty promising but has some, you know, pretty easily noticeable weaknesses in Josh Giddey, and they didn't get any draft picks. Now, and they traded with Oklahoma City. This is the part that's really vexing. Oklahoma City is known for their stockpile, their surplus of draft picks. I mean, you can look, you find a place to look for it, and that's a lot. They have a lot of picks. Like, they had four in this coming draft. I think two are gone. Two have been traded, I believe. I think next draft, they have like three first-rounders and like two second-rounders. They have a lot. The Bulls didn't get any of them. And it's crazy. And Giddey, while being young and you know, promising, whatever, this is the last year of his rookie deal, so they can either extend him during the season or sign him into a restricted free agency after next season. It's just very confusing why they didn't get more for Caruso, who a lot of good teams wanted, and he's the exact kind of guy Oklahoma City needs to kind of. They lost in the semifinals of the Western Conference playoffs. You know, they want to make it to the finals, and he's the kind of guy who can, you know, if he stays healthy, get him there.
It is confusing because the Bulls are a team that clearly need to build, and the draft is the major way to do it. It's not the only way. I mean, there are multiple ways that you kind of have to attack it. So if it's confusing, if you can sort of go through all the possibilities, all the iterations, what can you possibly come up with that they would have done this without getting at least some draft compensation?
I think they just have a skewed view on how to build a team, because, you know, I mean, he's shown one thing. Arturis Karnisovas, I mean, he hadn't made a real move involving a player in like almost three years. And when he traded away Lauri Markkanen, but like he hasn't made any deals, which is very odd. And, you know, you look at his before that, when they picked up Nikola Vucevic during the season, when they traded guys away, they also end up trading two draft picks for him. Two or three, one of the two. Anyway, but they traded picks for him. So it's like he doesn't value draft picks. It's really interesting. You know, and a part of that, I think, was a way he wanted to kind of get rich quick. He wanted to, you know, build a contender, build like a playoff team. And that's what the Bulls wanted. That's when they hired him. They didn't hire him to do a long rebuild because they were in the process of a failed rebuild when they hired him. And you look at, like, when John Paxson rebuilt Jerry Krause's mess, he did it through the draft. And back then it was a little easier to acquire picks. But, you know, you look at some of the deals he made where he back then you could buy a first-round pick. He bought a first-round pick off the Suns to get Luol Deng to pair him with Ben Gordon. You trade Eddie Curry and you get draft picks from the Knicks. You know, and he built the team that way. You know, you get lucky on Derrick Rose. This guy seems to just want to get a bunch of veterans in here. And, yeah, that can work and make it better quicker, but it doesn't seem to be the best way to build a contending team that's going to last, especially because the Bulls don't want to pay the luxury tax. You know, they're a cap team. They're up to the salary cap above it, but they won't pay the luxury tax. I think they paid it 1 year maybe, and it was very little. But they're not a luxury tax team, despite being the top team in attendance, despite playing in the third biggest market in the country, you know, and the only market that is just one team of those three. So it's just a very frustrating, confusing kind of process.
John Greenberg is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resorts and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It just, when we talk about the Bulls and where they sit in the NBA, it's, I know I'm not breaking any ground here when I say this, but it's frustrating because everything comes from the top. It everything is a top-down organization, and it just feels like, and I don't think you'll disagree with this, it just feels like the organization since the 90s has just consistently done just enough. Like, just enough to make people interested, but not enough to really make them an actual contender. And it feels like it doesn't have to be that way.
No, 100%. I mean, like, when, you know, Jerry, it was probably the right, I understand his reasoning of giving Krause those years to try to rebuild on his own, you know, whatever. And Jerry was aggressive in some ways. It didn't work. And then Reinsdorf had to fire him because it was just so uncompetitive. But when you hired John Paxson, I don't think it was to make this team, you know, a six-time champion. He hired him to make them respectable. And Paxson did a pretty good job of it. They got lucky on Derrick Rose. They got lucky that Tom Thibodeau turned out to be even more of a difference maker than they could have anticipated. So they had that brief window where they're like, holy cow, we're actually like a real team that's like relevant in the NBA. And since then, they fired Tibbs, which, I mean, you know, I didn't agree with, but I understood because just the relationships were so fractured there. And then since they fired Tibbs, they were a disaster, you know. And then they hire Karnisovas and Billy Donovan to again do the same thing, not to be champions, but to just be relevant, to be you know, to make the playoffs, just to give the fans, you know, a better product. And that's like, it's frustrating. Like, the Bulls said something, our writer Darnell Mayberry had a great line this year where he said the Bulls executive was like, you know, the people that complain to you on Twitter are not our fans that come to games, is basically what they said. Like, their fans, your fans and our fans aren't the same thing. And what they mean by that is like, yeah, it's still fun to go to a Bulls game. Like, you go to a Bulls game anytime, even when they're as miserable as possible, it's fun. It's a great atmosphere. It's, you know, they do an unbelievable job of putting on a show, the game ops team, and that's all they care about, is getting those people in. They don't actually care if, like, real fans are unhappy with the direction of the team or whatever, you know, put up billboards or whatnot. They just don't care. They're just not that good. And, like, Karnisovas and Mark Eversley seem pretty perfect for this organization of just, you know, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to watch year in and year out. Like, it's until Karnisovas say he was going to make a change this offseason, but, you know, he had two and a half years without Lonzo Ball playing, that, like, you knew what you were getting, and you knew it was a 500-ish type team, and that was, they were fine with that. So the one good thing I'll say is Giddey at least is a fun passer. You know, he can play an up-tempo style. He can rebound. Maybe he's good. Maybe he unlocks something from some of these guys. Like, if they re-sign Patrick Williams, maybe Giddey is a bit of a missing piece. But he can't shoot and he can't defend, so it's not perfect.
Well, you know, going back to what you said a moment ago about the Twitter folks, and what I would say is the folks on Twitter are the diehards. The people who go to the building, many of them are diehards, but the rest of them are customers. And it really feels like the Bulls operate, and it's not exclusive to them, because other teams in sports do this, where they are more concerned with the customer than they are with the fan. And I get it, because it is a business, but it's also a business where there's a little bit of public trust here, where you owe it to people, I think, to do the best you can to put a good team out there.
100%. I mean, you look at the ownership, they're not, like, Michael Reinsdorf runs the team, and he's somewhat passionate about the Bulls, more than Jerry probably, but, like, Michael's not, like, living and dying with every win and loss, or else he wouldn't make the decisions that he makes. You know, then again, Jerry is passionate about the White Sox, and we've seen how that works out. So, well, the fire and the passion doesn't win out there.
Please don't. Yes, you can have a passion for something, but also have limits, and that's how he operates with the White Sox. It is, I want them to win, but I want them to win within this box. And
exactly,
these are the ways I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't work within this little set of rules that I have, then too bad. But I am exactly passionate.
Right. I want them to win. I just don't know how.
Like, I want them to win. I'm not going to stop eating this pizza, but I want to lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Right. Like, I want to lose weight. I'm not going to work out.
Right.
But I'm going to think about it.
So,
it's just, it's kind of crazy because Jerry's owned these teams for so long, and he's good at making money. He's good at balancing budgets. Like, he's good at that type of stuff. Some people are bad at that. He's good at treating people that work for him well. Like, some people are really bad at that. Some people are really bad at that part of it. Like, they don't understand how to be a human being. Jerry's very good at being a human being and, like, running a business. He's just bad at the actual hiring people to be successful.
If you are in his circle, he will take care of you. That's why the organization has people who've been there 40 years. You know, it's so,
they don't even really rip him off the record, because they respect him. You know what I mean? Like, people, when they say, like, we want to win it for Jerry, it's, I mean, in some cases it's BS, but in some cases it's like, you can feel the authenticity here.
And that's great for the people who work there. The problem is,
right,
it's not great for the fan base.
Right. It's not great for everyone else.
Exactly. John Greenberg from The Athletic is with us here on 670 The Score. So let me ask you about that organization, because, you know, you and I spent a lot of time in the same dugout over the course of several years watching them do whatever it was they were doing. It's they are also in a very depressing situation, worst team in baseball. We've seen bad seasons from them before, or underwhelming seasons. Here's the impression I get from this really terrible season, that it's awful, but there's, in the past when they were not very good, there was an apathy. And I think it almost seems like there's less apathy because they're so bad. So there's more curiosity with a team that is so bad like they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I will say, I think there was a lot of anger early in the season because they were so horrible. And it was like, every time they lost, it was like a new, like, there's a historical point to it. Like, they've never been this bad over X many games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or they've never been shut out this many times. Now, I think we've reached apathy with this team, but only because they were so low. There's really no lower to go.
Sure.
And, you know, and they're not going to get much better. So I think we're at the apathetic valley. I think what's going to happen is, you know, if they make these trades, like let's say they trade Crochet, they trade Luis Robert, then there'll be some like anger and some, you know, just, you know, there'll be some good discussion, you know, whether it's the right moves or the wrong moves to get rid of these guys if they do that. And then there'll be like some of that anger and some of that, you know, sell the team chance would definitely return. And then it'll be a little bit like, oh, let's look at these prospects. Let's get back to this mark. You know, we're like salivating over these minor leaguers, you know, and then we'll have that point. And then what could be fun in a sad way is if they set some kind of loss record, whether it's franchise, I don't think it'll be major league, but the franchise loss record's 106, and that would also be the city loss record because the Cubs have never lost that many games. So this, you know, when it gets to the point where they could be the worst team in Chicago baseball history, you know, I think that'll spark people's ire once again. But everyone's kind of taking a break now.
Well, I almost wonder, with Sox fans being the way they are, and I love them. I think if they get close to the loss record, you're going to start to see people in September watching games, rooting to break the loss record.
100%.
Just for that, as an added, you know, like F you. I think that's what they'll do. And you know what? They won't be wrong.
No, absolutely. It might as well be the worst at some. And the sad part of it, kind of, is that they can't draft above 10th mm-hmm. because of the new Major League Baseball rules. Although I was talking about people, like when they had these chances to draft high during the rebuild, they blew them. So, I mean, some of it wasn't quite fair. Like, you draft third in a draft that's got Bobby Witt Jr. and Adley Rutschman, and then you get Andrew Vaughn. Like, it's not their fault, but like, it's just kind of sad. You know, you take Nick Madrigal, was that fourth? I mean, so like, maybe drafting 10th will be good. I mean, I think they got Crochet at like 11. I think they got Sale at 11, right around there, 10 or 11.
I want to say 11, 12, but you're
okay. 11. Right, yeah. Now. But you know, yeah. They're in that area, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
maybe that'll help Chris Sale's, you know, decision-making, cause he won't have to think about some of these other guys, and you know, it'll make it easy. But they draft 5th this year. So, yeah, that's like, there's no real payoff. But, you know, and the other part will be interesting, too, is if they decide to fire Pedro this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.com.
I see the White Sox lose many, many, many ways this year. That's a new one.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Chris Ronji on The Score. Good to have you with us tonight. And it is time to go to the guest line. And we visit with our guy from The Athletic. I think he owns the place. At least that's how I'm gonna say it. He is the founding editor, senior columnist. It is John Greenberg with us on The Score. Good evening, John.
Chris, if I own The Athletic, would I be on the doing a radio show with you on Friday night?
No. But you would also own the New York Times, I think.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. Like, I would be at my beach house.
Talking with John Greenberg from The Athletic. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while, John. And we speak a day after the Bulls made a trade, sending Caruso to Oklahoma City. This one seems to have a lot of mixed feelings about it because Caruso was a fan favorite. And they hate to see him go. What are your thoughts on the deal?
Well, I mean, we knew Caruso would probably be shipped off this year. I mean, they could have signed him to an extension and then maybe even traded him because the extension he's going to get, it's a lot of money, but it's not a crazy amount of money. So they could have gone either way with that. But then, I mean, the team's so, like, they've had the same core, and without Lonzo Ball, they're just like a 500 team or less. You know, they're a play-in team. So we kind of knew Caruso would go, and really, he should have been traded last season. I mean, but they liked him, and they wanted to make this kind of ill-fated playoff push with him, so they didn't do it. And there was all sorts of rumors and stories that people were offering multiple draft picks, but I think, you know, a lot of those were protected or whatever picks where they couldn't go top 10, but whatever. The Bulls instead traded him for no draft picks, and one guy who's pretty promising but has some, you know, pretty easily noticeable weaknesses in Josh Giddey, and they didn't get any draft picks. Now, and they traded with Oklahoma City. This is the part that's really vexing. Oklahoma City is known for their stockpile, their surplus of draft picks. I mean, you can look, you find a place to look for it, and that's a lot. They have a lot of picks. Like, they had four in this coming draft. I think two are gone. Two have been traded, I believe. I think next draft, they have like three first rounders and like two second rounders. They have a lot. The Bulls didn't get any of them. And it's crazy. And Giddey, while being young and you know, promising, whatever, this is the last year of his rookie deal. So they can either extend him during the season or sign him into restricted free agency after next season. It's just very confusing why they didn't get more for Caruso, who a lot of good teams wanted. And he's the exact kind of guy Oklahoma City needs to kind of, they lost in the semifinals of the Western Conference playoffs. you know, they want to make it to the finals, and he's the kind of guy who can, you know, if he stays healthy, get him there.
It is confusing because the Bulls are a team that clearly need to build, and the draft is the major way to do it. It's not the only way. I mean, there are multiple ways that you kind of have to attack it. So if it's confusing, if you can sort of go through all the possibilities, all the iterations, what can you possibly come up with that they would have done this without getting at least some draft compensation?
I think they just have I don't know if I would say a skewed view on how to build a team, because, you know, I mean, he's shown one thing. Arturis Karnisovas, I mean, he hadn't made a real move involving a player in like almost three years. And when he traded away Lauri Markkanen, but like he hasn't made any deals, which is very odd. And, you know, you look at his before that, when they picked up Nikola Vucevic during the season, when they traded guys away, they also end up trading two draft picks for him. Two or three, one of the two. Anyway, but they traded picks for him. So it's like he doesn't value draft picks. It's really interesting. You know, and a part of that, I think, was a way he wanted to kind of get rich quick. He wanted to, you know, build a contender, build like a playoff team. And that's what the Bulls wanted. That's when they hired him. They didn't hire him to do a long rebuild because they were in the process of a failed rebuild when they hired him. And you look at, like, when John Paxson rebuilt Jerry Krause's mess, he did it through the draft. And back then it was a little easier to acquire picks. But, you know, you look at some of the deals he made where back then you could buy a first-round pick. You bought a first-round pick off the Suns to get Luol Deng to pair him with Ben Gordon. You trade Eddie Curry and you get draft picks from the Knicks. You know, and he built the team that way. You know, you get lucky on Derrick Rose. This guy seems to just want to get a bunch of veterans in here. And, yeah, that can work and make it better quicker, but it doesn't seem to be the best way to build a contending team that's going to last, especially because the Bulls don't want to pay the luxury tax. You know, they're a cap team. They're up to the salary cap above it, but they won't pay the luxury tax. I think they paid it 1 year maybe, and it was very little. But they're not a luxury tax team, despite being the top team in attendance, despite playing in the third biggest market in the country, you know, and the only market that is just one team of those three. So it's just a very frustrating, confusing kind of process.
John Greenberg is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resorts and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It just, when we talk about the Bulls and where they sit in the NBA, it's, I know I'm not breaking any ground here when I say this, but it's frustrating because everything comes from the top. It everything is a top-down organization, and it just feels like, and I don't think you'll disagree with this, it just feels like the organization since the 90s has just consistently done just enough. Like, just enough to make people interested, but not enough to really make them an actual contender. And it feels like it doesn't have to be that way.
No, 100%. I mean, like, when, you know, Jerry was probably the right, I understand his reasoning of giving Krause those years to try to rebuild on his own, you know, whatever. And Jerry was aggressive in some ways. It didn't work. And then Reinsdorf had to fire him because it was just so uncompetitive. But when he hired John Paxson, I don't think it was to make this team, you know, a six-time champion. He hired him to make them respectable. And Paxson did a pretty good job of it. They got lucky on Derrick Rose. They got lucky that Tom Thibodeau turned out to be even more of a difference maker than they could have anticipated. So they had that brief window where they're like, holy cow, we're actually like a real team that's like relevant in the NBA. And since then, they fired Tibbs, which, I mean, you know, I didn't agree with, but I understood because just the relationships were so fractured there. And then since they fired Tibbs, they were a disaster, you know. And then what is it? They hire Karnisovas and Billy Donovan to again do the same thing, not to be champions, but to just be relevant, to be, you know, to make the playoffs, just to give the fans, you know, a better product. And that's like, it's frustrating. Like the Bulls said our writer Darnell Mayberry had a great line this year where he said a Bulls executive was like, you know, the people that complained to you on Twitter are not our fans that come to games, is basically what they said. Like, their fans, your fans and our fans aren't the same thing. And what they mean by that is like, yeah, it's still fun to go to a Bulls game. Like, you go to a Bulls game anytime, even when they're as miserable as possible, it's fun. It's a great atmosphere. It's, you know, they do an unbelievable job of putting on a show, the game ops team, and that's all they care about is getting those people in. They don't actually care if, like, real fans are unhappy with the direction of the team or whatever, you know, put up billboards or whatnot. They just don't care. They're just not that good. And, like, Karnisovas and Mark Eversley seem pretty perfect for this organization of just, you know, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to watch year in and year out. Like, it's until Karnisovas say he was going to make a change this offseason, but, you know, he had two and a half years without Lonzo Ball play, and that, like, you knew what you were getting, and you knew it was a 500-ish type team, and that was, they were fine with that. So the one good thing I'll say is Giddey at least is a fun passer. You know, he can play an up-tempo style. He can rebound. Maybe he's good. Maybe he unlocks something from some of these guys. Like, they re-signed Patrick Williams. Maybe Giddey is a bit of a missing piece, but he can't shoot and he can't defend. So it's not perfect.
Well, you know, going back to what you said a moment ago about the Twitter folks, and what I would say is the folks on Twitter are the diehards. The people who go to the building, many of them are diehards, but the rest of them are customers. And it really feels like the Bulls operate, and it's not exclusive to them, because other teams in sports do this, where they are more concerned with the customer than they are with the fan. And I get it, because it is a business, but it's also a business where there's a little bit of public trust here, where you owe it to people, I think, to do the best you can to put a good team out there.
100%. I mean, you look at the ownership, they're not, like, Michael Reinsdorf runs the team, and he's somewhat passionate about the Bulls, more than Jerry probably, but, like, Michael's not, like, living and dying with every win and loss, or else he wouldn't make the decisions that he makes. You know, then again, Jerry is passionate about the White Sox, and we've seen how that works out, so maybe... maybe the passion doesn't win out there.
Well, please don't. Yes, you can have a passion for something, but also have limits, and that's how he operates with the yeah. White Sox. It is, I want them to win, but I want them to win within this box. And
exactly,
these are the ways I'm going to do it, and if it doesn't work within this little set of rules that I have, then well, then too bad. But I am
exactly.
passionate.
Right. I want them to win. I just don't know how.
Like, I want them to win. I'm not going to stop eating this pizza, but I want to lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. 100%, right? Like, yeah, I want to lose weight. I'm not going to work out.
Right.
But I'm going to think about it.
So,
I mean, it's just, it's kind of crazy because Jerry's owned these teams for so long, and he's very good at it. I mean, he's good at making money. He's good at balancing budgets. Like, he's good at that type of stuff. Some people are bad at that. He's good at treating people that work for him well. Like, some people are really bad at that. Some people are really bad at that part of it. Like, they don't understand how to be a human being. Jerry's very good at being a human being and, like, running a business. He's just bad at the actual hiring people to be successful.
If you are in his circle, he will take care of you. That's why the organization has people who've been there 40 years. You know,
yeah,
it's so,
They don't even really rip him off the record because they respect him. You know what I mean? Like, people,
right.
When they say, like, we want to win it for Jerry, it's, I mean, in some cases it's BS, but in some cases it's like you can feel the authenticity here.
And that's great for the people who work there. The problem is,
right.
it's not great for the fan base.
Right. It's not great for everyone else.
Exactly. John Greenberg from The Athletic is with us here on 670 The Score. So let me ask you about that organization, because, you know, you and I spent a lot of time in the same dugout over the course of several years watching them do whatever it was they were doing. It's they are also in a very depressing situation, worst team in baseball. We've seen bad seasons from them before, or underwhelming seasons. Here's the impression I get from this really terrible season, that it's awful, but there's, in the past when they were not very good, there was an apathy, and I think it almost seems like there's less apathy because they're so bad, so there's more curiosity with a team that is so bad like they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I will say I think there was a lot of anger early in the season because they were so horrible, and it was like every time they lost, it was like they lost. It was like a new, like there's a historical point to it. Like they've never been this bad over X many games, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Or they've never been shut out this many times. Now I think we've reached apathy with this team, but only because they were so low. There's really no lower to go.
Sure.
And you know, and they're not going to get much better. So I think we're at the apathetic valley. I think what's going to happen is, you know, if they make these trades, like let's say they trade Crochet or they trade Luis Robert, then there'll be some like anger and some, you know, just, you know, there'll be some good discussion, you know, whether it's the right moves or the wrong moves to get rid of these guys if they do that. And then there'll be like some of that anger and some of that, you know, sell the team chance will definitely return. And then it'll be a little bit like, oh, let's look at these prospects. Let's get back to this mark. You know, we're like salivating over these minor leaguers, you know, and then we'll have that point. And then what could be fun in a sad way is if they set some kind of loss record, whether it's franchise, I don't think it'll be major league, but the franchise loss record's 106, and that would also be the city loss record because the Cubs have never lost that many games. So this, you know, when it gets to the point where they could be the worst team in Chicago baseball history, you know, I think that'll spark people's ire once again. But everyone's kind of taking a break now.
Well, I almost wonder, with Sox fans being the way they are, and I love them. I think if they get close to the loss record, you're going to start to see people in September watching games, rooting to break the loss record.
100%.
Just for that, just as an added, you know, like FU. I think that's what they'll do. And you know what? They won't be wrong.
No, absolutely. It might as well be the worst at some. And the sad part of it, kind of, is that they can't draft above 10th because of the new Major League Baseball rules. Although I was talking about people, like when they draft, they had these chances to draft high during the rebuild, and they blew them. So, I mean, some of it wasn't quite fair. Like, you draft third in a draft that's got Bobby Witt Jr. and Adley Rutschman, and then you get Andrew Vaughn. Like, it's not their fault. But, like, it's just kind of sad. You know, you take Nick Madrigal, was that fourth? I mean, so, like, maybe drafting 10th will be good. I mean, I think they got Crochet at, like, 11. I think they got Sale at 11, right? Around there. 10 or 11.
I want to say 11, 12, but you're...
Okay, 11, right, yeah. But, you know, they're in that area, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Maybe that'll help Chris Sale's, you know, decision-making, because he won't have to think about some of these other guys, and, you know, it'll make it easy. But they draft 5th this year. So, yeah, that's like... There's no real payoff. But, you know, and the other part will be interesting, too, is if they decide to fire Pedro this year. Or if they let him just sit and eat all the losses.
Well, I imagine the way they operate, it'll happen at the end of the year, if at all. Let me move to the Cubs here, because in the last 5 starts we've seen from Shota Imanaga, in 3 of those he's given up at least 5 runs, 2 of those 7 or more. So the results haven't always been there, though he did just come off a couple of really nice outings against the Cardinals and against the Reds. What do you make of where Shota is as we get to the halfway point, or get close to it?
Well, right. So you got shelled today. I was at those 2 starts in Milwaukee and at home against the White Sox, where he looked terrible. And it really, you know, I thought, and I know there's some people in the Cubs thought that he was tipping pitches in Milwaukee. And I don't know if he was doing it against the Sox. I don't know if the White Sox are good enough to like pick that up if pitches are getting tipped at all. But he looked bad. And, you know, he wasn't changing the eye level of guys. And he needs a little subterfuge to get those 90 mile an hour fastballs, you know, to take advantage of it. And he throws high in the zone. And if you're throwing high in the zone and guys know it's coming, major league hitters can take 90 and do some damage on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot different than 97. So I was really worried after those 2 starts. Like, I was like, have they just completely, you know, people completely figured him out? And then, you know, like you said, he had 2 good ones. And then against the Mets, he did not look very good. So I'm like relatively worried about it, to be honest. I think he's good, and I think maybe, you know, when people are talking about him being a 3 or 4 guy coming in, maybe this is what they're talking about. You know, that he's got some great stuff and he's nifty, but if he doesn't hit his spots like any other pitcher, you're going to get hit. And like any other pitcher that doesn't throw heat, you know, if you miss your spots and you have, you know, pretty nasty velocity, it'll help. If you don't, you're going to get smacked around a little bit. So I wouldn't expect Schroeder to win any Cy Youngs this season.
At the beginning of the year, it sure looked like he could be on the way to it, right? So it's it's a real bummer to see it go down the way it has recently. There is one thing that will be very cool that we know for sure, and that is on Sunday when the Cubs unveil the Rhino statue. And it couldn't really come at a better time for somebody who's battling cancer and going through all of that, and then to have this, that'll be a really emotional night.
Oh, well, I mean, it's so great for him. Like you said, just everything he's going through, and you know, Rhino's just, I've always said, like, you know, he wanted to be a major league manager. He was briefly for Phillies, and it wasn't a great fit. And I think the best fit for Ryan Sandberg is just being Ryan Sandberg. And Cubs fans love him. You know, he makes people's day if he visits with them or he goes, you know, he does an event. And I think that's like the perfect kind of major league retirement after you play. It's just you're in your market, you're in your home market. People love you. They love you just being yourself. You know, and just the memories for the people that remember him playing in the 80s and early 90s. You know, those memories are just everlasting for them. And just a class guy, and it's great that he's got this statue coming up. So it's going to be great. You know, I'm kind of disappointed I'm not going because I have to go to Sky Fever.
Oh, yeah.
I've got Sky Fever. And so,
did you buy $9,000 tickets? Did you buy the $9,000 tickets?
I did. Well, you know, I get a press pass, but then I still spent $9,000.
Attaboy.
Just to hang out. Just because, you know, to be in Wintrust Arena, I really want to.
Of course.
Want to live large. Yeah, so I'm actually, I may well go. I wonder if Harold's is going to upcharge. The Harold's by Wintrust will upcharge their
fees. I would.
Because I went, that's where I went before the home opener. I went and got Harold's and brought it back into the arena.
That's fantastic.
A very, very sophisticated move by me.
Of course, you're a sophisticated guy.
I am. I mean, yeah. So the Rhino thing's great. I have a question for you, Ronji. Let me ask you. What's the next statue there?
At Wrigley Field?
Yeah, because I mean, they've added the Rhino, and I know what it is. I'll see if you agree with me.
Okay, I need to think about this. Because it's, I'm trying to think of a long time player that would have because they've had a lot of really great players for short periods of time, and the ones that helped them win a World Series. That is a great question. Is it Kerry Wood?
No, come on.
I don't know.
Here's what it is. They've got to take a page from the Jerry Reinsdorf statue book.
Oh, no.
Jerry loves his statues. And, yeah, I was going to say Paul Konerko. No, just kidding. Harold Baines.
Yeah, Harold.
No, they have to do a team one. They have to do a 2016 Cubs one. Like Jerry did. That was one of the best things Jerry's done, is that statue he put. The statue itself, it's all right. But, like, they need to do a 2016 team statue. And I would assume, you know, they're going to if I were them, I would have one ready for the 10th anniversary. Now, Jerry did hit. They opened the Sox one because he's quick on the statues.
Oh, that was opened in 2007, right? You mean something like what's right outside the ballpark?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Now that makes sense.
If
there hasn't been a Cubs great that was there for like a decade since, right?
No, right. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously Sosa should have a statue.
Oh, well, that's that's not going to happen. It should be him,
right,
but
so,
they have to allow him back at the ballpark first.
Right. So it should be Sosa, but we know that's not going to happen. It's got to be 2061, and the perfect pictures, there's one picture where they're all, like, kind of celebrating, and it, you know, they're all kind of bunched up together on the mound, like, celebrating. That's the perfect statue, is to put that out there. They've got to honor the whole team. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done it yet, you know, and that's just because, again, we're spoiled by Jerry, his love of statues, is that he had that 2005 statue done by 2007, I believe.
It was there.
You know, guys were all still on the team.
Yeah, because I started with them in 06, and I feel like it was there within the first couple of years of me being there.
Yeah, no,
So you
yeah,
know,
I knew it was quick.
Well, if you've already waited 8 years, you might as well wait 10. Do it in 2026.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Wait till it's 10. I mean, most of the guys will be, I think almost everyone on the team will be, you know, except for a handful of guys will be retired by then. Jerry didn't even, I mean, guys are, Jerry gave, I mean, Harold Baines got his number retired when he was in baseball. So,
that's right. Oh, my gosh. John, it's awesome to talk to you, man. I miss the conversations, and I hope you enjoy Highland Park Fest all weekend.
Yeah. Whatever I'm going to go see some Dishwalla maybe, and maybe some, we're going to see some big bands.
Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors. You know, I got through this whole thing without asking about banks. How about that?
Okay. Good to talk to you, John.
It's good to talk to you, Chris.
That's John Greenberg from The Athletic. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for listening. Thank you for texting. Thank you for being a part of the show. Appreciate it, Mike Farron, Chuck Swirsky, and Greenberg, and my guy Sean Sears for producing. Have a terrific Friday. We'll talk to you sometime soon. Chris Ranji on The Score.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.